Hey guys, we're back again with the Red Switch podcast. We've got me, Suresh, Bart.
Hi.
Adamya.
Hello.
And Oiva.
Moi.
Okay, so my question for this week is it time that we change the international currency? Alright, so first of all, do we know why we have an international currency?
No. Yes.
Guys, I'm talking to you.
What is
international? Do we know the reason for an international... So, it's a currency used to trade.
Yeah. Dollars is the... It's a currency
used to trade between other countries.
Yeah.
So I'll break it down for you guys just so we know what's going on. So, say if I have, like, two countries, say Japan and France, okay, and we have no international currency, what Japan and France would do is, say, if we have France who wanted to buy a, say, radio from Japan... How would they pay for it? Right? I know it's stupid, but just bear with me.
Can we have a Japanese
right?
radio?
They would have to buy they'd have to buy this radio in yen, right?
Mm-hmm.
If they're going to buy something from Japan. Okay, but where do they get yen from? They get it from Japan.
So Japan buy the... What's the other country again?
France will be euros.
So Japan has to buy euros and...
Yeah.
In terms of yen, so they give yen to France, and France gives Japan euros.
They can
either give it... Wait, let me finish. They can either give them euros, or they can give them a good, which is wine. So basically, Japan has to buy some goods from them to give them euros, to get the euros, right? So it's a bit strange, but if Japan doesn't want their wine, then there's no point in buying... the euro, because that means they have to get wine that they don't need for them to have yen. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of people in Japan who like French wine.
I don't think they are. I think they just love their sake. But this is why we introduce a third currency. Okay, so like the US dollar. So say the US now love their wine and buy... wine from France, give the French US dollars, all right? Then Japan wants the US to produce movies, so they they buy movies from the US, and then French can trade with Japan with US dollars to buy the radio, and so Japan uses the US dollars to buy the movies. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's the best currency.
It's a currency that you just
go
to. Yeah. Yeah.
So everyone can use it, right?
Yeah.
And so that's the reason we need an international currency for ease of trade. Okay.
Can I ask one question?
Now, yeah, go ahead.
Is the reason why it's dollar because the US is buying so much of the other currencies?
Now, this is what I'm going to. Why we use the US dollar.
Okay.
So... The reason we buy from the US is because a lot of countries, I guess, used to do trade with the US. And way back when, in 1944, there was this thing called a Bretton Agreement.
Yeah.
And what that was is that all countries had to back their money by gold. Okay, so back then, the US had the most gold reserves. Okay, but come the 1970s... inflation started, and so countries wanted to hedge their inflation by getting gold. And so instead of losing all the gold, the US untied their currency to any gold. And so they just started printing money and giving it to other countries to hold on to.
Is this when it became a fiat currency?
A what currency?
A fiat currency.
What's that mean?
When it's separate from... Well, its value is tied not to any resource. Exactly, but just like to itself or to other currencies.
Yeah. It's basically tied to people's belief in the currency. So people have to believe that it has value.
Sure.
Otherwise, it has no value, yeah?
Yeah.
And so basically, anyone who has the US dollar now just hopes that they don't default on paying back their loans.
That's very depressing.
Yeah. And so you're asking why or whether or not sort of
we should
the dollar has overstayed its welcome as the international currency and we should change
exactly.
it.
Well,
and it's also unfair for other countries, right? So to have your dollar as the international dollar gives you a lot of unfair advantages over other countries. So having your dollar as international country creates a lot of demand for US dollars, right? Mm. So they can borrow money from other central banks at a very low interest rate because they're eager for the US debts, right? Because it's very high in demand and they can sell them off at a good rate. And so even if they want to finance their finance themselves, they can just print more money and sell it to more reserve banks. Right? So they can just fund themselves. It's like having a free lunch.
Right.
Yeah. Well, but
yeah.
Yeah.
And then yeah, so the cons for us as well is that the US has a very large debt now. And if it reaches bankruptcy, everyone who has a lot of the US money or bonds will have it all defaulted and not paid back. And so that's trillions of dollars not paid back. And so I think we need to hedge this and start diversifying like China has, and they've started buying gold and diversifying their holdings.
Well, China...
And also...
China doing a very clever thing where their investors are investing in a lot of companies within Europe and Africa and America, so they're one step ahead of the game. And in fact, the BRIC countries, which is Brazil, Russia, India, and China, there's been like some talk about them creating a separate currency, which will be the new sort of base currency for the world. That they'll create a new currency where not one country just benefits, because a lot of countries are realizing now the US have really, really got a lot of power over other countries due to this system. And it's very difficult to change it, though. You know, it's not just like,
yeah,
you can't just get every country to just say, oh, well, screw you, because they're still owed money from the US. The US is just, they've got one over on everyone.
Well, what do you guys think, though? Do we need a change in the currency?
I do wonder what kind of effect, what kind of consequences there are for having one country's currency being central in almost all international affairs. I do think there is something menacing about that. But I don't have a solution in terms of, oh, this is the currency we should go to. Perhaps cryptocurrencies are the newest options out there. But because they're so new and I don't really know where they stand, whether they actually solve anything or whether they make it worse.
Well,
With a dollar, you can have... it's not only a trust in the system, but it's also that kind of the government can, by doing smart tricks, maintain the value of the dollar in a certain way. Whilst with cryptocurrencies, it relies only on the people who use it. And if people suddenly don't trust it anymore, it goes down in value and there's no way of actually stopping it.
No, but that's the same with the US. If people don't trust it anymore, its value goes down, right?
If the people's trust goes, people will stop buying it, the demand will reduce, and that therefore...
You know, exactly. Currency. So if the US economy does poorly, then there's less trust and it goes down. But if you don't have if you have one currency that's completely independent, there's no real reason for you to lose trust in it or for it to not be stable in the long run, right?
Correct. But to go back to the question, do we need to change the currency? With the current climate, with the US being how it is, and the power of US's economy is diminishing relative to China, I think you probably, US might not have a say very soon with China and India growing, whether they get to keep their currency as their base currency. Because surely India and China can just create, or Russia, you know, these countries can just create a new currency and just start dealing with that, and US just have to deal with it. At the moment, US has a lot of power, but like US did when they just started giving out currency, these countries can also come together and just start giving out a new currency.
But then we fall into the same trap again, where like we have a few select nations dishing out the currency.
Yeah, but that will always be the case. The powerful nations will always have the monetary sort of...
It doesn't always have to be the case. If we have enough people agreeing to use a independent currency, then everyone in the world is a lot better off.
Independent currencies are great, but who will sort of maintain that currency? Which countries will be responsible for it?
Well, no country has to be responsible for it.
So there'll be sort of an international body.
You don't have any international body that runs it.
We're seeing... within United Nations and these kind of places that these international bodies are corrupt more than anything. They're corrupt to a point where in the United Nations, they're again, in the United Nations, you have countries that are more powerful than the other. You can't have consistency where every country has an equal say, because that's never going to be the case. Even in international bodies, certain countries will have different agendas. So like in the EU, Germany has a huge agenda where that's the whole thing with the euro, isn't it?
They have a lot of leverage.
So when you say that you can have an international body and they'll all be the same, well, China will be like, well, we've got 1.6 billion people. Why do we have to have the same say as Finland, which has got like three people?
Yeah. But how does it work in the euro? How does trade work there? Do you guys... Because I know you're trading the euro.
In the euros, there is... the whole point is open trade. So you can trade within borders and they won't be... So when you talk about wine in euros, it's a lot easier to do that because there's no sort of translating currency, because it's 1 euro to a euro, obviously. So it's a lot easier for that to happen. So it's a lot to do with trade. But again, I don't think...
Yeah, and that's the same... I think that's on a small scale what they're trying to do, what should be done. On a large
but scale. There's a huge thing that EU is the euro currency is failing a lot at the moment as well, because a lot of countries are not having a great, the poorer countries especially aren't very happy with these things, and there are people dropping out continuously. So what I'm saying is here that you can't have an international body and you can't have consistency that everyone has an equal say. They'll always, China and US, then if let's say you create an international body, US will still have a huge power within the international body.
Yeah.
So will anything really change? They'll still have a stronghold.
Before the global financial crisis, both Russia and China called for a world currency instead of just using the US dollar. So it doesn't even seem like they want that huge power.
Well,
the one currency.
Just in recent times, and I'm not speaking from an informed perspective.
I know there are my
just thinking about the ideas that Trump now has about how to govern the country and being quite protectionist and being kind of closing up the borders, not just physically but also in terms of putting taxes on imports and exports. That country doesn't sound like a country that's in a good position to actually be the international currency, because they themselves are actually trying to close up their own country, and so they do seem like even the United States is not really trying to maintain this international currency.
The problem is, Suresh, like obviously, in the theoretically speaking, it will be brilliant if there is free borders, there is a currency, and everyone's happy. But that will never be the case, because in order to have the same currency, you have to be friends. Let's say two countries, North Korea, this is a really extreme example, North Korea and South Korea, they won't accept that they will have the same currency, will they? As everyone else.
Well, that's not how it's going to work. Like, a world currency will start like something similar to the euro, right? Yeah. You'll slowly get countries indicted into the currency and be happy.
But then you'll have power players in there, though. So the countries that will start will have more power.
But the euro itself is now become so much more powerful than it was before, because of this new eurozone thing and trade being so easy. The only problem it has is trading with people outside of the eurozone.
I personally think the way it's going, the next sort of base currency will probably be yen. I think China will probably take over, and that's what they're trying to do by investing in loads of corporations within Europe. They're really trying to gain the financial power to be able to, you know, have a real hold upon the world economy. So I don't think, unless a lot of countries get together, and the big thing is we've got euros in Europe. Will that mean that euros will have to be disbanded and there'll have to be a new currency introduced into Europe? Because there'll be a world currency, or are you saying everyone in the world should deal with euros?
Well, the dollar being an international currency doesn't mean that other currencies don't exist. It's just that the general way of sort of trading between countries would go via the dollar. So trading between countries would first be euro, and then it would go via yen if that becomes the international currency, and then back into whatever the next currency is.
That will not be good either, because now I'm going back to the point where there'll be power players. You can manipulate that base currency, which is just above all currencies, and you can just go to that and it's easy transaction. The people that hold the most power on that, they can really have a strong value upon their own currency. So let's say America has a very strong value upon this new base currency, or China have a really strong value upon their base currency. They can use that as leverage to increase the value of yen.
Yeah. Well, anyone with a lot of money can leverage the... Exactly. That's because having a lot of wealth means that you can...
That's what the US does as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're going to move the problem from the US. And I think this is probably a little bit better. You can probably move the problem to just being US to being 6-7 countries where they're all like quite powerful, rather than just one country having the power.
Exactly.
But you can never. That was the motivation behind the euro.
Well, yeah, 6 or 7 countries.
Well, no, but that many countries would have the same currency together and collectively back that currency.
But it's mainly Germany, though, isn't it?
It's a democratic thing.
Yeah.
It's not mainly Germany. It's just that the countries with the most wealth will have more leverage proportionally to the countries that have less wealth.
But then we go back to the same problem that Suresh said, where the poorer countries are still screwed over by America, and they'll still continue to get screwed over by this new system.
Not necessarily. Why would they get screwed over
Well, again, by the new let's system? Say you're an international. I'll give an example of a small country of about 15 million, population of 15 million, all right? You're in this international corporation where you're now deciding on this new currency and the little rules that this currency has. You will not have at all any sort of leverage as to a population of China, which is 1.5 billion, which will have more members in it, which means that it may not...
It will not have a right threshold. What leverage do you need for an international currency? It's just so it's not tied to any one reserve bank. Or bank, or country, right? You don't need any leverage, do you? Like, if we use something like what Bart said earlier, a cryptocurrency, why would you need to have any leverage anymore? There's no need for power plays there.
But there will
be... You just trade in accounts.
It will never be as simple. I don't think it will ever be as simple as just having a new currency and everyone deals with it. There's a lot more finer details and niches to it than just having a new currency. And all these different rules.
Like what?
I'll give an example of euros. When euro was created, it wasn't just, oh, here's a new currency, everyone's happy. There's a lot of little niches of what determines value and what, like, the system, how it grows. And obviously, I'm not a massive expert on that, but it will not be.
Do you know anything about how the currency is valued?
Well, it's valued on demand. But again, let's say it's valued on demand. So this new base currency. Let's say there's a new, a rule imposed on this currency and China doesn't like it. They can pull out and they say, we don't like it. Bang, the value of the currency drops. So these big players will have such a major power to it. They can basically manipulate the other countries saying, well, if you don't do this, we're just going to drop out and this currency is going to go to pop.
Okay, let me offer a counter argument here. I don't actually see what is necessarily so bad about people having leverage. Because a wealthy country having more influence than a poor country is pretty obvious, because their wealth doesn't come out of nowhere. It is a representation of their productivity or their export or their resources. They have some leverage because they offer something. And just like with Bitcoin, its value is dependent on the faith that everyone has in the system. If one person who has a lot of bitcoins pulls out, then obviously the value would go down. Just like if a big country would pull out of a currency, the value would go down. It's all to do with the faith that they have in the system. And I don't think it's necessary. Like, we're talking about big countries having influence as if it's a intentionally bad or malevolent thing, but you know, that's just
again
a fact of how
that's how the world works as well.
Yeah, but we're completely ignoring the fact that what's so wrong about the system now. US is a powerful country, a rich country, so why don't they deserve power of it? They're the ones who started dishing out.
That's not how it works though. Like, the power is solely on the US.
Okay, so you want it to spread. But why would the US wouldn't want that? US wouldn't want it to be spread. All the US's people that alliances with the US wouldn't want that. So when they introduce a new country, they won't be.
It's already happening. Even Australia is now trading without the US dollar with China.
Yeah, but I'm saying the strong alliances of US will not
we,
be happy.
We are a strong alliance.
Yeah, but with the US. I'm saying like that countries like Israel will never really go with that. And
you don't know that, dude.
They, again, of course, we're talking about hypothetical scenarios, but all I'm saying is there's been talk about China, India, and Russia and Brazil, these countries getting together, but then the power will just be with these four countries that will manipulate the system. And then the US can start shouting at the fact that these countries don't have a very good human rights thing in their country, and there'll be a lot new sort of more...
Okay, but
in
that case, if I'd have to pick a country that I'd want to give the power to have power over this country, I'd prefer America than Russia.
Yeah.
I prefer that the US is the one exerting most power over how international trading works than other countries. Yeah, I wouldn't want to see them become more powerful. And then set us back in terms of the
Western world wouldn't want China, India, and Russia to have all this power. If Australia, said to Australia, "Oh, by the way, you're not like US is not holding the currency now. It's China and India that's bumming you." They're not going to be like, "Oh yeah, that's cool." it's the same thing that's going to arise, and the problem is, I think we're going a bit like in circles here, where. There's no way of leaving the system because the base currency will always be held by the most powerful countries.
And I don't think there's necessarily that much wrong with it because those powerful countries do a lot of good by enforcing a certain by maintaining a value as a currency.
Okay. What if the most powerful countries lose their position as the most powerful country? What do we do then? Do we start cutting them off and start changing? Our currency?
The good thing about that is...
Because that is kind of what's happening now.
The good thing about that is when we're going back to the fact that US is just holding a sole value, sole power for this, if we spread it across four countries or five countries holding this value, the risk of one country collapsing... So if the US collapses now, a lot of money will be lost. Whereas if the risk is spread over four countries, it's very unlikely that these four major pillars... huge economies are just going to collapse at the exact same time.
Don't forget that other countries
diversify the things that
which don't forget a lot of countries have money in the US and don't want to see them collapse, but because of how much debt they have, it seems like they're going to default on their payments. Right now they're giving out bonds to other countries just to pay off their interest, so that means they're not even getting rid of any of the debt, they're just paying back the interest that they have. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, I think there was a really good sort of, if the US was a household, it was spending about £200,000 a year on an income of about £28,000, I think.
Yeah.
So, you know, the US is not run brilliantly, and perhaps diversification is the right way.
I think anyway, so. I think, so let's
wrap it up.
I think we've come to a point. Diversification is the right way, and I think it's the way forward as well. So good luck to us all. That is the Red Switch podcast. I hope you enjoyed listening to us, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.